Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Brother Shabbal, Brother Rob, Beth Yahweh Congregation, Baltimore, Maryland, under the tutelage of Yahkael, Ben Gershom, Ben Daniel, Yahushua, the Hamashiach, my spiritual leader, coming from Baltimore, Maryland. Tonight's episode is Rosh Kodesh, which means the new moon. Kodesh Tova, family. If you can hear me, can I get a thumbs up? Because I don't know if I lost signal or what, because the music had just stopped. Throw it all around if you got it. Thumbs up. Today is another day, excuse me, another episode of Rosh Kodesh. Coming from Baltimore, Maryland. That's Yahweh Congregation. I'm sure you probably heard that. I'm your host, Shabbael. As we always, all the brothers tell you to do, get your studying tools or things you need to make yourself comfortable. But most importantly, have your Bible hand and a pencil so that you can make some notes. This program, you can go back and listen and pause and rewind on the internet, not live right now because we're live on the phone, landline. Tonight is the first of the fifth month of Yahweh's calendar. Hallelujah. Excuse me. And today on the Gregorian calendar, this is the 18th of July, the seventh month on the Gregorian calendar. But we all know, or we should know, the importance of Yah rules. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the creator of the elements that's in the sky, the sun by day, the bright sunlight to give us daylight, and the moonlight that will be coming at sunset after 8:35 this p.m. here in Baltimore, Maryland. Yahweh puts those elements, those out to help us know the days and times, and it prepares for seasons. Excuse me. Apologize. I'm going to open up with a prayer. Father Yahweh, forgive me of my sins, knowingly and unknowingly. May I decrease, and you can increase, Father Yah. Open up my spiritual ears and spiritual eyes so you can pour in me and I can be the vessel and dispense the word that you know that needed to be heard in the listening audience ears. Let us bring light to this darkened world. Let us bring your truth. Not half truth, not some truth, not part truth. Your words are all true, as King David said in Psalms 119. Continue to bless my spiritual leader, Brother Rabbi Yaakov, his family, all my Kohen brothers. Continue to open their spiritual ears, spiritual eyes, so that they can continue to bring forth your word that need to be dispersed. Watch over our Beth Yahweh family, all the sisters in the congregation, and watch over our Kohens, excuse me, our Kohens, our sister Debbie, continue to bless her and watch over her. Sister Naomi, continue to strengthen her. Watch over our young adults, continue to strengthen them and let them stand fast and hold fast to your word. Watch over our teenagers, which is soon to be young adult. Watch over our sister Alicia, sister Ella Sheba, and back here, Gary's daughter. She's down and away. I think it's her first time away from home. So keep her in your prayers. She's attending Georgia State University. I hope I got that right, Father Yah. But she's in Georgia. Watch over her, that we pray that her all unclean spirits be removed from her dormitory rooms, her classrooms, her halls of study, higher education, and give her discernment amongst what friends and peers to hang around. And lead her to some people that are God-fearing people as yourself with that hunger and thirst and that want to know your true ways so she don't feel left out and get engulfed and pulled into the worldly ways. Watch over all of our children and our children's children. And I thank you in the name of your son, Yahushua, our soon coming King and Redeemer. Amen. I'm open also. I'm going to go ahead and do the opening priestly, excuse me, opening blessing prayer for Rosh Kodesh. Excuse me. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and the mighty one of our forefathers and inaugurate for us this month for good and for blessings, for joy, for gladness, for salvation, and for consolation, for sustenance and support, for good life and peace, for pardon of sin and forgiveness of iniquity. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, who sanctified Israel in the new moon. Hallelujah. Hopefully everyone had a good day today, and if not, that's okay. Because why? At sunset today is the new moon. That's a gathering, that's a solemn feast. As Yahweh tells you to leave your, cast your burdens on the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, which comes in every week, sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, a 24-hour period. So you can cast your burdens on this too, because he tells his children to gather and meditate on him and his words in his times. So if you did have a rough day, or your beginning of your week just started off rough, we know the week starts Sunday, the first day of the week, and the day is just Tuesday. But hallelujah. The sunset will be going into the, the fourth day. Hallelujah. Last time, episode, I was going to say I'm not going to keep you long, but last time I started at 7:30, so I'm mindful of this. It's 8 o'clock. Last time, my last teaching, I had on the new moon of the fourth month, Tazmoon, I taught from Judges chapter 11, one of the judges, one of the 12 judges that Israel had when there was no king back in Israel. Yahweh always sent a deliverer, always had a deliverer. Deliverer, when I say deliverer, should come to everyone's mind, is Yahushua. That was the deliverer. He was sent to us. Sent not only to Israel, to the whole world, to whomsoever can come to take this. Yes. But you have to abide by his laws, commandments, and his statutes. It's not about an ethnicity or nationality. It's to whomsoever to take hold of that. And that way you be engrafted into a family. Brother Darewell did a beautiful lesson this Shabbat, and the Shabbat before last, or his fifth segment, Magnify the Torah, how he broke down a lineage and adoption. And so when you take these laws, commandments, and statutes, you become adopted and grafted in this family, the family of God. You become Israel, not a Christian. I used to think that, but you don't become a Christian, you become Israel. You say, how can I come up and state that? Well, tonight I'm not going to just be saying things. We're going to go through them real quick. Because I don't like to, like I said, that last teaching, it was some things I left out, but for time purposes, it'll cut off for me. Some of you know how I can get, but I'm learning now this season. Thank Yahweh, pray to Yahweh. And if I haven't, somebody please shoot me a text and call me and say, brother, no, you haven't. You still be long-winded. But I'm still praying to Yahweh to work on it, to not chop anything down, but to put things like in a nice little compact lunch. Not so much of a whole full course meal, but put it in a nice, nutritious lunch that you can be able to eat off of and don't get overstuffed. Because, you know, at times, just like with food, this word is like food, you can get overstuffed. And then me as being a teacher, y'all would tell me, it's things that I have to follow order of, because why, as a teacher, I have to be mindful that I'm not giving someone too much of something at a time. Some of us been parents or aunts and uncles, and you watched a little one, or big brothers or big sisters, and or you've been an owner of a pet when they're little, and puppies or whatever. You can't feed them too much of something. And so we know some people you start off at the infant as milk. You get weaned from your mother's breast, because when you're a newborn, and then you get put on a bottle or formula if your mother chooses not to continue to breastfeed you, to wean you off the breast. And then you get to little things added to your milk. your consumption amount increases from 2 ounces or 4 ounces to 8 ounces. And then you get a little rice, a little syrup. We know how I go. Then you get some other food, and then you can make it till you can sit at your little high chair in the table, and you can beg from it. Well, not beg. You can ask for something off of everybody's plate at your table, and you're going to get it because you're the little one. But even in that instance, when they're little like that, because they only had these little teeth that they get, the four little teeth, and then they get six little teeth, you still have to grind some of that food, that piece of chicken or whatever you have, to a smaller amount, because they still can't consume that, because you, as an adult would. So same way with the word you have to realize, you have to learn to be understanding that meeting people where they are, like Yahshua met the woman at the well in John 4. I had to meet a person that they are. So this may be a first time listener, so I had to give them milk. They may be on the breast, or they may be just weaned off the breast and starting to get other little things added or getting more milk. So I had to be mindful of that. So all that's saying is that some things that when I finish a class, I may come back because something in there I wanted to bring out that I couldn't just force feed it, because that's not the way it's done. So it's best to give a little by little. And then the Holy Spirit, because I'm working with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will build on that. He will magnify that during the course of that person when they go back to study. Amen. But getting back to what I said, I want to go to that verse to show a person for new listening audience of Beth Yahweh, my Beth Yahweh family, So when I say for new listening audience purposes, I'm going to go to the book of Genesis, and I'm going to give you something real quick. I say not Christians, right? I've come to realize that I'm not a Christian anymore. And book of Genesis chapter, I believe it's chapter, let me tell you 1 minute. Hallelujah. Oh, I haven't forgot. I just seen something while I'm trying to get to that chapter. Y'all, some of you know where I'm going at when I said that. Since I seen this, I need this right here too for something. This come handy for something. Okay. Genesis chapter. I want to say 32, but I don't want to actually read this. All right. Genesis chapter 32. Hallelujah. In Genesis chapter 32, you don't know this account right now of Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Abraham is the father of faith. One of the fathers of faith, but in Genesis chapter 12, you'll see where Yahweh gave him a promise for all the mankind that existed after him, well, before him also, that died and laying in the rest and waiting for that day. But afterwards, Yahweh showed so all mankind in the world can understand, like, this is my servant. This is who my spokesman at this time. Because Yahweh always had a spokesman. That's how Moshe came on the scene after Abraham. Noah was a spokesman for him before the flood. Okay, so in Genesis chapter 32, Jacob was a twin of a brother named Esau, and his father's name was Isaac, the promised seed. And so we're going to go to Genesis Genesis chapter 32, Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 24. Jacob was afraid. If you're not familiar with this, it's a good story to go back and read over. Jacob was afraid. Jacob had some fear of his brother because why? His brother, he tricked his brother out of his birthright. But he just didn't do it on his own. It was his mother, and you know, gave him some insight too. So, but if we when you learn about the scriptures, you see that it was planned. It's just like when Jacob, when his old age, when he went to bless his sons, when he found Joseph, his 11th son, by the wife he loved, Rachel, when he found out that he was second command down in Egypt when they had a famine. So Joseph got to send for his whole family when they realized that Joseph is in charge and he's down in Egypt. He's not dead. Yahweh sent them before them that he saved them. So the dreams that he dreamt, the visions were true. He just didn't understand them at the time. But speeding up what I'm getting at, when he was blessing all the children, he went to bless Joseph's son. And he crossed his hands, because you know, was your right hand, left hand? And I think it was, Genesis chapter 42, 44, apologize for that, but I know it's coming to my mind. He went to cross his hands. If Joseph had two sons when he was down in Egypt, Manasseh and Ephraim, and when he went to bless them, his father Jacob went to bless him, and he said, "No, father, that is not so." And he said, "What you mean?" He said, "He's my eldest, and that's my youngest. You're blessing my youngest." His father said, no, I know that. But the younger shall rule the older. And in that story, we also, if you go back in Joseph's story, starting chapter 37, that brother Yariel did so eloquently this past Sabbath, he had the testimony of Joseph, one of the 12 patriarchs. He gave a synopsis over the family. Joseph wasn't the firstborn. He was the 11th born, but a firstborn. He was Jacob's fourth and last firstborn. His firstborn was Reuben, Dan, Gad, and Joseph. He had eight more children after them, but they were his firstborns. And what happened was Joseph also received a blessing because while Joseph inherited his brother, his firstborn brother, Reuben. Reuben lost his blessing. Brother Ariel had taught when he had the testimony of Reuben for sleeping with his father's Jacob handmaiden. So therefore, he was stripped of his privileges of the firstborn, and his was given to Joseph. Joseph got a double portion. And you see how the younger would rule over the elder, because why? You could have said, well, why wasn't Dan, because Dan was the second. But Dan was the second firstborn, true. And why didn't go to Gad? Gad was the third firstborn. It went to his last and youngest firstborn, which was Joseph, his 11th child, and he got a double portion. And when his father Jacob went to bless his sons before he laid the rest, that's when he crossed his hand and Joseph said, "No, father. Not so. He's my eldest." He said, "I know, but the youngest will rule the eldest." So we see a Yahweh transmission as he comes and shows us that from through generations how Yahweh word builds on it. Because Jacob got the blessing instead of Esau. The second Adam, yes, Yahshua, before he had a body prepared for him to come down and fulfill his purpose of being a sacrifice for mankind. He's considered in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's considered the second Adam. Where the first Adam, son of God, right, was Adam, our forefather, the first creation of Yahweh, first human flesh creation, should I say. So we see how the younger will rule over the elder. What just came to my mind, I thought about King David. He had some big brothers. I think it was eight of them. I can't remember if David was the eighth one or the seventh one, but I apologize, but that just came to my mind on that. But getting back to Genesis chapter 32, and you pick up at verse 24. At the time, Jacob was on the run, because now Jacob, not on the run, he was leaving his family's house where he had got set when he had to leave, because his brother Esau was highly upset for what he took his birthright, what he said Joseph took, and his family sent them away. And while he was down, while he was away for those 21 years, he acquired four wives, well, two wives and the handmaiden, his wife's handmaiden, which he had children by, and that's how he had the tribes of Israel was formed. But when he was on his way, leaving Laban, father-in-law, home, he heard that his brother Esau was coming. Esau was a mighty man because he was a mighty hunter. If you look at the beginning of the story before Jacob had to leave, Esau was out in the field. That's how he missed the blessing. But Yahweh knew everything. So nothing happens by circumstances or happenstance, the words say, or coincidence. No, Yahweh, everything is pre. Yahweh sees everything. Nothing catches Yahweh off guard. We may not understand it at the time, but like Isaiah 55 says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are higher than yours. But as you continue in his word, he'll open up. It's like Psalms 119:18 says, open up my eyes so I can see your work. But getting back to what I was saying, so he was fearful that his brother, he heard his brother Esau was there. So he split his family up and sent his servants to meet his brother and give his brother things. And so at verse 24, we're going to pick up in Genesis 32, before he met up with Esau, it says, and Jacob was left alone there, and he wrestled a man. He stayed at a brook at night. He said he stayed on the other side of the brook. When he rose up and he said he took two of his wives and two of his woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford. Verse 23, and he took them and set them over the brook and he sent over that he had. And Jacob, verse 24, was left alone. And there he wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. He wrestled a man. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with the man. So the angel, we find out as you read more, the angel, seeing that Jacob was prevailing, like, he holding on. He really, it makes me think of the shin. In the Hebrew language, it's 22 alphabets, and the shin, shin is the 21st alphabet. Shin should be the 21st alphabet, and it signifies two front teeth, like the incisor. I might have that wrong. I know they're not the canine, but should be the shin. Let me make sure, man. I'm trying to apologize. Like I said, I hate to just throw something out there and mess it up. Yup, the shin. Hallelujah. And so it made me think that's how we're supposed to be as believers. We don't just get give up on because it's looking bad or don't seem like it's going my way or he's not hearing me. We had to wrestle. We had to prevail, endure. Excuse me, what time is it? Come on. And so it made me think of the shin, the two front teeth, because it said the angel, in verse 24, it said, there you wrestle with a man. In verse 25, he said, he prevailed. So the angel touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. But you notice he just didn't stop wrestling. He kept on going with an injury. Verse 26, and he said, let me go for the daybreak. The angel said that. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. This is what Jacob said. So this is the attitude we had to have, too, as believers. And when he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Right? And verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel.
For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So that's why I said, if you meet someone, that's Yahweh know this, but it's always, you know, we learn by repetition. And what I learn by repetition, the more I hear some of my brothers or my rabbi say something, or one of my sisters share something on the line, I get more out of what I thought I knew. Yahweh opened me up to more understanding. You understand what I'm saying? Because I was on milk. So now I ain't on milk. I got a little bit of rice now with that milk. Or you know, whatever you put. I don't know. Oh, yeah, I had to put rice in my grandson's milk. Yeah, a little rice in that milk. So the more you might say, I heard this before and all that, Yahweh can still open your eyes up and give you more. Because now you have grown. He know you have grown from through your Bible study. Now I'm going to tell you this. This is not a magic book, like people may think. You can't just keep it laying on your coffee table or just write it. No, you got to open it up. And before you open it up, you got to pray and ask him, hey, give me your understanding. What can I learn from your word today, Father, to help me in my walk or your purpose of my life so I can understand? And then he will open it up to you. So, or then you may say, why did I read that? Like what happened to me? I go, why I study that? I wanted to study something else because somebody had come across your way. I've come across people on the MTA, the transit, sometime in the store. Somebody say something. I go, ooh, that's why I studied that last week, or that's why I know. And then I just pray and say, can I say something? Sometimes you go, nope, don't you say nothing, not yet. So that guy hold it, which that's hard. Anybody know me? That's hard. Yeah, I got hold, can't say nothing. But then when he tell me to say something, I can say it. But what I learned to understand is not what I want to say, because I understand it. I got to ask and say, Father, how you want me to say, because you know, man, this individual, what they need to hear so they can say, whoa. See, I don't know that. I'm not in the person thought with them. I just ran across them then when I said, so I can't say what I want to say. So I got to calm down and let the Holy Spirit tell me this is what I want you to say. I know you know that, but I want you to say this because they don't know this, and they definitely ain't going to understand that just yet. And so that's what I learned. That's how I got to be better. So now when somebody say something, Genesis chapter 32, you can take them right there, verse 28. And when he said, your name is not Jacob no more. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because why? That's what he told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He said, through your line, your name changed. Abraham's name used to be Abram, and he changed his name. He's going to be the father of many. Because remember, Abram thought he wouldn't have no kids. And then he had Ishmael, and he thought that was good enough. And God said, no, that's by the bondwoman. You're going to have one by Sarah, your wife. And Sarah's name got changed. And so he said, you're going to be father of many. Well, your descendants is going to be more than remember, he asked him in the conversation, look up at the stars. Because Abraham knew some stars because he come from Terah. They were idol worshipers and new stuff, but he couldn't count them. So he told him, like, numerous like those stars up in the heights. It's something you can't even see with the human eye back then, especially now. He said, you're going to have that many descendants, or more than the sand on the shore. So Abraham, like, so Yahweh's giving him something that he can kind of understand. Man, that's a lot. I'm going to have that many kids, huh? But that's what he meant through the promised son, Isaac, at my appointed time. Yeah. After we go through some things, Abraham. and that's how he became the father of faith. So that's why through his seed, Abraham said, what? A grandson, Jacob, had 12 sons. And the seed, the Messiah, Yahushua, you see that in Hebrews chapter 7-8? Now, he comes from the tribe of Judah. That's the fourth tribe of Israel, Jacob's son. So that was the promise to Abraham. Like, and he told Abraham, you won't see it. Abraham didn't get to see that. So that's why we had to know it's two words sound familiar. When I was a Christian, everybody was big on the prosperity. prosperity in English, the way they teach you mean it, but prosperity is different. Your prosperity is knowing the word of God and having the blessings of God. Him being your strong tower, hallelujah. But then there's another word, posterity. That's through like lineage, almost like going down. So yeah, you won't see it, Abraham. But it's gonna come from your seed, come from your loins. So why? Abraham was Isaac's father. Isaac had two twin boys, Esau and Jacob. Then that's Jacob, and Esau was Abraham's grandson, and then Jacob had this 12 sons, and out of his loins, the son Judah, that's the tribe where Yahushua would come from. So you're not a Christian. Verse 28, God right there, he said, thou name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for a prince has thou power with God, with men, and has prevailed. So right there, you say, well, what that got to do? Let's go through something simple that we know. Usually, you're named after your father. When I say you don't have to be a junior or a third like myself or whatever, I'm a son of four, grandson of fifth. But what I mean, you usually have a father's last name, the father's name. What I mean, the father's family name, the seed comes from the man. Okay? When you get married, usually, because times change, I had a little dilemma, but it worked out, hallelujah. There's no dash, whatever your last name. You take your husband's name, because now you're coming into what? You're coming into your husband's family. Just like when Eliezer was sent by Abraham to find a daughter for his son Isaac, sent them into that land, and they ran into Laban and met Rachel. And that's how he met Rachel. Excuse me. Rebecca. Apologize. Got all excited. Get excited. And he met Rebecca. And Rebecca's family asked her, will you go with him? And she said, yes. So she left. And she took on, she was no longer in her family. She became into that family, engulfed in that family. But their family all is still a whole family. But now she's under the headship of her father's family, which is she became Abraham's daughter, what we call a daughter-in-law. So God said, you are a Israel. See? So, no, you're not a Christian. It's sad that it's been taught that way, and that's wrong. So I'm not apologizing. I apologize if you were taught wrong. But no, that's not, you're Israel. That's the name God named. That's the name your father named his children. It's important. Names are very important. So people just take this stuff slightly. But enough of that said, but at least you see in verse 29, say Jacob asked him, tell me, I pray thee your name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou ask me my name? And he blessed him. See, the angel said, hey, don't worry about my name. You just worry about what I told you. Verse 29, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. My life is salvaged. I got salvation. So now that was just said and done with time right there. Okay, that's enough of that. But that's just things. So you're not a Christian. You're Israel. Why are you Israel? What Israel mean? What we just Israel mean? A prince has power with the God and with the men and with men that have prevailed. You are heirs. You read all through the New Testament, you're heirs, children of a king and all that. Yeah. But that's Israel. It's no Christian. It's no 12. Jacob, we're going over the 12. Like I said, we just did Reuben, Reuben, Dan, Gad, Joseph. Now, next week, God willing, this Sabbath coming up, God willing, we'll be doing Judah, unless Yahweh guide us somewhere else. But last week we were told we were going to do Judah. The fourth tribe of Israel. So that's who you are. That's who you belong to. When you represent a company you work for, you don't have another name. You're an employee of that company. So we see these things all through our lives, but when it comes, we abide then and obey, man. But when it comes to God, it's like we can give God anything. No, can't do that. Okay, so we're going to go back to, I'll leave that right there. And so, and like I said, last new moon, fourth month, I had Judges chapter 11. I came out of the 11th. Was he the 11th judge? I apologize. Let's see. yeah, he was the 11th judge. Well, I'm going to make this up. I'm going to go to Judges chapter 11 in your head. Jephthah, he was a Gilead. He should be the 11th judge. If I'm not mistaken, there's only 12 judges. Let me see. 11th judge. Jephthah. 12th judge. Yeah, because Samson was the last judge, because the death was Samson. Judges chapter 11, Jephthah, the Gileadite. And we remember this. I don't know if you did remember. Jephthah was a judge. At the time, Israel had no king. You read that in, that's found twice in there. That's found in Judges chapter 3, I believe, where it states at the time that Israel had no king and every man did what he wanted. Well, I don't know if it was in chapter 3. But it definitely was in chapter 21, verse 25. It said, in those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. But we know that's not true. Yahshua is king. He always been the king. So they may not didn't have a physical king that they could see and touch like all everybody else could. Like, yeah, we want a king. You know the story. They wanted a king. But getting back to that, Jephthah was a man that Yahweh chose to deliver Israel, because Israel was always disobedient. They would cry out, and Yahweh would send a deliverer. That's the mercy of Yahweh. Hallelujah. And so this guy, Jephthah, if you read that story, you'll see that he was his father was a Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. And when he grew up, they drove him out the family. And they said, you're not going to get any inheritance. So they drove him out the family. And so he fled, and he went to a land called Tob. In Hebrew, that land Tob means good. So he went to a land Tob where a group of adventurers gathered around him, and they followed him. So he became a mighty, valiant warrior. It was something I said last week, and I just cut it off because I wanted to finish another thought, and I realized when it was over, I shouldn't have said that. I should have stuck with that. But I'm learning. Left the highlighter. But he became a warrior when he left. Let me read it in this text right here. 844. Come on. Where is that? I'm gonna read it in the WEB because we got a different. All right, good. I'm gonna read it in that so you can hear how it sounds. Not gonna be long with this. We just want to clear something up. Some things I should have brought up, but like I said, I couldn't cram and push it. All right, Judges chapter 11. It says, and what I say, W-E-B-B.
Atlanta told outlaws, let's say adventurers, but verse 3, it said, Judges, chapter 11, verse 3, it said, he lived in Atlanta Tob. Tob in Hebrew means good. Atlanta good. Outlaws joined up with Jephthah, and they went out with him. After a while, the children of Ammon war against Israel. So remember, we went over that before. See, everybody, Yahweh allowed, because of their disobedience, they always had enemies coming towards them. See, when we obey Yahweh, he protects us. That's what we had to learn from this. Just like we just read the little synopsis of Jacob getting his name changed from Jacob to Yisrael. Yeah, he was a little nervous or whatever, but once he became fully, he pressed on, he was determined, that word determined, prevailed. Once he did that, fears are not, they don't have a grasp on you as much. They're not as strong on you as much. You have your armor, Yahweh. Verse 5, the children of the army war against Israel. And they went to Jephthah out in the land of Tob. And they asked him, they said, come and be our chief. You may fight the children of Ammon. And Jephthah said to the elders, didn't you hate me? Remember, we read it. Told him, get out of here. Your mother was a prostitute. You son of a strange woman. You won't get no inheritance around. And so you see how it come back. Kind of echoes a little bit. You hear like a little Joseph in there. Remember when Joseph's brothers, his brother Yariel brought out last Shabbat, Joseph's brother sent him, sold him into slavery. But as Joseph said in Genesis 50, you see, he said, what you intended for bad, Yahweh intended for good. Hallelujah. Because he had to deliver them. They had to come and eat. He had to save his whole family. Not only the whole family, the whole world had to come to Joseph. A representative of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Verse 7, Judges 11, he said, didn't you hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress? The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, therefore we have turned again to you now. So they repented. Sorry, we apologize. That you may go up with us and fight with the children of Ammon, and you will be our head over all the inhabitants. Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight with the children of Ammon, and Yahweh delivers them before me, will I be your head? The elders said to Jephthah, Yahweh will be witness between us. Surely we do what you say. So they said, I'll be your head. We can hear something else in there too. Remember, what was it? Exodus chapter, 19? What, 16? 19? No, 20, when Yahweh came, and it was thunder, and he starts saying the 10 words, and he's like, oh, stop. Moses, stop. Tell him, stop. We'll do all he say. We'll do all he say, dude. Don't he talk to us, Moses, you talk to us. We also can hear Yahshua in that when he came along, remember? Yahshua basically told him, you'll have no inheritance either. Get out of here, the son of a, basically trying to say Mary wasn't a prostitute, but she was a loose woman because they trying to say, who's your father? Your father's supposed to be Joseph the carpenter, right? And then they say, we don't want him when they crucified him. Let him go give us Barnabas. So we kind of see certain things mirrored. And the elders of Gilead made Jephthah, and the people made him head chief over them. He spoke these words to them. Okay, so now we're going to go down. But before we go there, something very important. Verse 13. The king of Ammon answered the messenger of Jephthah, because Israel took away my land when he came out of Egypt. And Arnon, even to the Jabbok. Jabbok. That Jabbok, if you remember when I was starting off in Genesis 32, when it said he lodged, Jacob laid down and lodged that night, verse 22, I think it was, it said that he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two woman servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford of Jabbok. So they're saying, you took our land. And to the Jordan. So they're trying to say from the land, from Arnon, even to the Chabuk, and to Jordan, therefore restore that territory again peacefully. And Jephthah sent the message again to the king of Ammon. He said to him, Israel did not take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when they came up from Egypt, Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh. And he asked, could they pass by? But the king didn't listen. The king of Edom didn't listen. The king of Moab, he refused. So Israel, they dwelled in Kadesh. Then they went through the wilderness and they went around the land of Edom and they came by the east side. So verse 21, we will go down to that where it said, Yahweh, the God of Israel, delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel and struck them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites and the inhabitants of that country. They possessed all the borders of Amorites from the Arnon even to Jabbok and from the wilderness even to the Jordan. So now Yahweh, the God of Israel, has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. Should you possess them? Won't you possess that which is Chemosh, your God, who give you to possess? So whoever Yahweh our God has dispossessed from before, them will we possess. Chemosh is a god, I think another name was Beelzebub. Verse 25, now anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, did strive against Israel? Because he strived against Israel also. Now, verse 27, he said, therefore I have not sinned against you, but you do me wrong to war against me. May Yahweh the judge be judged today between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. So remember where it said, what I said in chapter 1 of chapter 3 of Judges, I think, and chapter 25, the last verse in Judges, last book, it said, in the time when Israel had no king. We see right there, verse 27, says Yahweh be the judge. Verse 28, they didn't listen to the words of Jephthah. Verse 29, this is where we want to start off, because this is where I kind of left some things I should have finished, so we're going to do it now. Verse 29, then Yahweh's spirit came on Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over to the children of Ammon. Verse 30, Jephthah vowed a vow to Yahweh and said, if you will indeed deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, it shall be Yahweh's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So, as you see right there, verse 29, Yahweh's spirit came over Jephthah. That's first of all. That's one point I left out. Verse 30, Jephthah, he vowed a vow. If you deliver me, Yahweh. And it's verse 31, and what his pledge was, his offering was, whatsoever come out the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, it shall be Yahweh's, and I will offer it for a burnt offering. Verse 31, the key right there, it said, whatsoever come out my doors to meet me, I will return in peace. To meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, it shall be Yahweh's, and I will offer it for a burnt offering. So let's stop right there. Burnt offering, keep burnt offering in mind. Because a lot of people will say these things like the Bible contradicts itself and say you're not supposed to kill them. Okay. Man, I don't know why I keep belching. Apologize, family. I'm not going to let that belch distract me. Numbers chapter 30. Because remember, this is a vow. Numbers chapter 30. You can write that down in your notes. You probably have already had. That's the chapter to tell us when you vows are not to be broken. And it gives you a breakdown of a vow. If you're in a household, if you're a woman, you make a vow to Yahweh, you bind yourself in bondage. But you being in your father's house, and your youth, your father can deny that vow. So it's vows that can be honored and vows cannot be honored by a widow. So you can say a vow, yes, be mindful of a vow, but vows it's an order. Okay? So now we go to, so what else we got right there? So we see right there, just bear with me for half the time. Okay. Now we go down to verse, so we see what he vowed. Damn, so you go down to verse, verse 32. So Yefetha passed over the children of Ammon to fight against them, and Yahweh delivered them into his hand. So, okay. Yahweh granted his supplication that he prayed for. But be mindful. Remember, verse 29. Keep verse 29 in your ear because I didn't bring that out. That's why I said I'm going back over. Not going back over, but just going through some things. So we can see some things how Yahweh, so people don't come up to you and tell you Yahweh word contradiction. Because Brother Kunal, Brother Wendell, said a brother tried to come up to him with something. Brother Wendell had to straighten him up. Try to say Yahweh word contradiction. No, it's not. That's why you have to know Yahweh word and be spirit filled, spirit led by Yahweh under the teacher of Yahweh, so you can see these things and Yahweh can open these things up to you and he can expand them things to you and let you see. Because everybody, because of systems of mankind, don't even understand why they do things. Why a woman supposedly takes her husband's last name? We see something because you're becoming in another household. Jacob's name got changed from Jacob to Israel. So you can't be a Christian. There's no 13th tribe called the Christians. You're going to say 13th tribe is one of Joseph's sons. Remember, Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they split a tribe. But you ain't going to get the fourth. Let's go with 14th tribe. You're not going to get the 14th, the Christian tribe. There's no such one. So you Israel. That's a child of God. So it's important to know these things. Don't let people go, well, it don't matter. Yeah, it do matter. Okay. So now remember, verse 32, Yahweh delivered him into his hand. So we go down to verse 34. Yefetha came to Mizpah to his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines with dance. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. So remember what he vowed in verse, what was that, verse 30, he said, verse 31, whatever come out of my house doors to meet me, I will return, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, it shall be Yahweh, and I will offer it to him for a burnt offering. Remember Numbers chapter 30, make a note there, so when you go back to study in your quiet time, and you can see some things. You may see some other things. Hey, text me and say, hey, I saw this thing. I'm like, hey, thank you, but I missed that. But number 30, it tells you how vows can be honored, right? Watch where I'm going at. Watch where Yahweh leading us. I ain't going nowhere. I don't know nothing. I'm going to clear that up. verse 31. He said, I will offer it up until Yahweh for a burnt offering. And so now we're seeing that his daughter came out in verse 34, his only child. And we know what that points to. Out of his house at he went a victory. Who's the only child out of God that created the heavens and earth house? That's Yahshua, his son. He sent his son down here to be born of a virgin, a maiden. And he grew up and became a man, became the high priest on earth under the order of Melchizedek, as Brother Dale Well brought out so eloquently 2 Sabbaths ago in his fifth segment of Magnifying the Torah when he did the lineage and stuff and showed us how the priesthood over the time evolved. It always was a priest of the Most High because you always got Yahweh. It was who Melchizedek points to. And then you got the Levitical priesthood. Before the Levitical priesthood, each man, as we know in Psalm, is supposed to be a priest over his house. Noah was a priest over his house. So how you can come across that, brother? Noah made an offering. Remember Genesis chapter 8 when he was allowed to come out the ark after Yahweh cleansed the world, purged the world, and started all over with those eight people and those animals. That's what priests do. Who else we got? Abraham always was making a altar and giving praise to Yahweh, right? So that goes to show you, like a priest, man, the man supposed to be, you're supposed to be the head of your household. You're supposed to be the priest of your household. We also know how Job, remember Job said he put up an offering for all his sons and daughters. So we can see these things throughout history, how the man is the head of the household. And like Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that the woman is over the man is Yahushua. Under Yahushua is the man, and under the man is the woman. That's good. No other order. Nothing has changed. Okay, so now we see that made that vow. And so verse 36, she said, my father, you have opened your mouth to Yahweh. No, excuse me, verse 35, he said, he saw her and tore his clothes. He said, oh, my daughter, you have brought me very low. He feels sad. And you are one of those who trouble me, for I have opened my mouth to Yahweh and I can't go back. Yes, because why? Numbers 30 say that. But don't forget when we started off in Judges chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, it said he got put out from his family. Remember? The Gilead family. And he became like a mighty person, a mighty valiant warrior, like King David, right? And it said a group of people followed him, right? So he may have strayed away from the ways of Yah, because remember, we also know this is during the time of Judges. And Yahweh used him to be one of the 12 judges to deliver Israel at times. Remember, the Philistines battled us and Moab. And this time it was the Ammonites. Ammon, that he had Yahweh gave to deliver us over. So he may have not been knowing all his words fully because, like I said, Israel didn't have a king. Every man did with his own eyes. You see what I'm saying? So him and David had some similarity. David was a valiant warrior too, because I know people say, hold up, bro. You cannot compare nobody like David. No, just read what the word said in Judges. This man was a valiant warrior too. It had a group. People don't follow. Well, nowadays I take that back because we live in a world like Isaiah said, man, to call woe to them, they call good bad and evil good and good evil. Because now people will follow anybody with no structure or nothing. So I can't say that. Times is changing like Isaiah. Once upon a time, you follow somebody, you wanted to follow somebody or be with a group of somebody, and you go, okay, I'm with this. But what I'm using that to say is he made a vow, and he said, but he did know that I can't go back on my vow, verse 35, right? No, sis, I gotta get back with you. Teacher. Apologize for that. He said, I can't go back on my vow. So he's not like David. We know David wrote them songs as they well played, got him and the Holy Spirit and God, Brother Yahweh, them three together, put that lesson together this past Sabbath. You can go on Blogtop and listen to that. It was a nice lesson with them psalms and the music. Brother Dale Well narrating, using the scriptures that Yahweh's Spirit led him to do. Beautiful lesson. Edifying. So he didn't know, like we knew David meditated on that word of Yah. David called on Yah. As from a youth, David knew Yah. That's why he went up against Goliath. Remember, as a youth. So he made a vow. That's true. And so the daughter said to him, you open your mouth. Do to me accordingly, which has proceeded out of my mouth, because Yahweh is taking vengeance for you on your enemies, even unto the children of Ammon. So as we see, this young lady is of age. This ain't no little girl like, can't say that because some of our little sisters could talk like that when they was young. Like the Clapton's had some daughters. I would have barely said that. The oldest daughter, I remember, I met her, I think she was 14 or something, or she was about 19 years old, the way she talked. But that's why when you're in the Word of Yah and you're under the parents, they're teaching you that. Who else? Who else? Some of the other the young sisters in the club, what was her name? Kaya. I ain't forget you, Kaya. Naomi. So when you heard them talk, I'm like, man, how old are they? How old are they? And Brother Ivy, he got a little one now. Little Zoe, I don't even think she's 10 yet. So, but I'm using them young sisters in my congregation because I know they were young like that. But some of them may speak like that because what you train up a child, Proverbs 22:6, they part not from those ways. Oh, yeah, and I'm not going to forget, I don't even know I'm going to say Brother Matt Taya and Sister Imoni, they little daughters, the Kawhi, this Akusha. I know the little baby one, she on deck, so I know she going to be something too, Salome. but what I'm saying, this young lady, where she's speaking in verse 36, don't sound like a child. I ain't forget you, Kanaya, because you've been raised up since you was young, so you would speak a certain way. How old is that girl? So she understood, like, Father, it's okay. But she knew of Yahweh, so they still had knew something of Yahweh, because remember, he told the Ammonites, man, we ain't take nothing. We ain't giving you nothing back. Yahweh put you out of that land and gave the land to us. We didn't take your land. So we know. So he knew some word. We knew that. But remember, though, verse 29 said the Spirit of Yahweh came over him. See, Yahweh can bring things in your memories. I'm sure he heard something about Yahweh. But remember, he got put out. I don't know how young he was when they told him, get out of here. Shoot. Get out of here. And so she said, let thy will be done. Think verse 37, that sounds like Yahshua in the garden. Remember, he did the Passover. He said, nevertheless, Father, this cup can't be passed. Not my will be done, your will be done. So we can hear things of why Yahshua was the Son of God, the only son that came out of God's household, that got sent down here for mankind. And then when it was time, he said, let thy will be done. So she's echoing, you can hear these things. She said, Father, leave me alone for 2 months that I may depart and go down the mountain and be well with my virginity. So we see right there, she's a virgin. So she's not married to no one per se. Remember, like she a virgin. So what else we see in virginity? Spot, a blemish, what is it? Spotless and blemish. Am I saying that right? No blemishes. That's what the Passover lamb was appointed to. And why? Because that Passover lamb was a significant. That's okay. I can't get that one out. It pulls a point to. It's supposed to. Forget it. It's supposed to point to Yahshua, the Son of God, whom had no sin, take away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Amen. Okay, apologize for that. He said that I can be well my virginity. And he said, you go. And he sent her away for 2 months and she departed. And she and her companion, they mourned her virginity on the mountains. We see twice it says your virginity, spotless. Because why? As the church, we supposed to make ourselves image in the image of Yahushua, because he was hid without no sin. So we supposed to be sinless. How we become sinless, we take on the laws, commandments, and statutes of Yahshua. At verse 39, at the end of the 2 months, she was returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he said, remember, in verses, what is it, 30, 31, 32? And he had vowed, she was a virgin and became a custom in Israel, that the daughters of Israel went out yearly to celebrate the daughter Yephthah, the Gilead, 4 days in a year. So, okay, you said all that to say what, brother? Remember, don't always keep in mind Numbers 30. And remember, when you make a vow, and then remember, verse 29 in Judges 11 right here, the Spirit of Yahweh came over him. So while Yahweh wanted to prophesy and say something through him, so when this was written down in the book of Judges, and we can see this years, thousands of years later, that we can see his son, Yahushua, and we can see Yahweh making in this with his only son out of his house that he sent, and we can see in Revelation when he told the oldest elders in Revelation 5, said, don't cry. It's one that can open up the seal. He can do it, the son of Yahushua. So we can see these things. And we also know from, remember Samuel, 1 Samuel, Hannah, Elkanah had the two wives, and she couldn't have kids. She cried, and she went in the priest's house, and man, the priest thought she was drunk, Eli. He said, nah. And then Yahweh heard her prayer, opened up her womb, and she said a vow, I'm going to dedicate my son to you. And see, the difference here, we see here, Samuel was dedicated to be raised up in the house, which was Shiloh back then before the temple was built in Jerusalem. So he learned the ways of the priest. He learned the ways of Yahweh, officiated ways. And he was of service. So what did he do? He learned how to light the lamps. He learned how to watch our sacrifices, right? I left Samuel out when I was talking about how a man is a priest also of his house, because you can see how they do offerings and things. But he learned the ways of officiating over Yah. And see, he got more duties, because his mother took him when she weaned him off of her breast, she kept her vow. She could have changed her mindset, like what some people do. Say, well, I said it, but I ain't mean it like that. She could, you know what I'm saying? She could say, I said, but I didn't mean it. No, she kept her vow. And she took Samuel up there and gave, you know, she would bring him little things and stuff and still let him know that she was his mother. It kind of sort of, we see a little Moshe in that. See a little Moshe in that bad boy, because why? Moshe, we learned from, I think it was Brother Darewell, yeah, in his lesson, that Moshe was put in the water, and the Pharaoh's daughter came and got her servant to, like, pull that out. Said, that looked like one of the Hebrew child. And then Yahweh orchestrated where Moses' big sister, Miriam, was nearby, and which she seen her and said, hey, that's a Hebrew baby, go get a Hebrew and tell a Hebrew to nurse that baby for me. So what happened? Miriam put her mother on with this job, Jochebed. I hope I didn't mess her name up. And Jochebed got paid to nurse her own child. Ain't Yahweh good? And just trust in Yahweh, lean not to your own understanding, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. I know she had a problem, like, I'm going to put my son in this basket and push him down the water in Egypt. First thing come to my mind was crocodiles. You know, maybe that part didn't happen, but still, your baby, your three-month-old baby, you can push him down. But trust in Yahweh, lean not to your own understanding. Psalms 84:11, no good thing. Yahweh, son of Sheol, give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, that trust in him. Jeremiah 29:11-13, I know the plans for you to prosper, a plan for you to have a prosperous expected him. Hallelujah. So that's where Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways, Jochebed. Put that baby in there. I got this. So getting back to what I'm saying is that she got to raise up her baby. Samuel's mother raised him up, and then she gave him over to the Yahweh. And so with Yephthah's daughter, they don't mention her name, but with her, she was, that's what she, that's the sacrifice, when he said, I'm a sacrifice to Yahweh. She was a virgin. So what that means? She didn't get married. She remained a virgin. She remained spotless. And she did service at the temple. Now, when I say service at the temple, hold what I'm saying. Her service at the temple was different than what Samuel's. Her service probably was, she may have did some yarning, or knitting, you know, making temple, some sort of temple things needed repairing, or she may have, you know, she maybe not just cooking, people just think cooking or so. She did womanly things that she could do honor to Yahweh. And see, now women and sisters, now they don't want to be woman. They look down on womanly things. There's nothing wrong with being a woman. being doing a woman, doing things that are dainty things that in your nature, that you could be a service. So she did those things, and no, she didn't get to light the lamps. Samuel did. When I say the lamp, manure or handle certain things and go in there. Because why? That's the job of a priest, of a man. Because Yahweh has an order. We learned that when he created Adam and Eve. People don't want to believe that. So you got to go to, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, where he said, I made man. And then 1 Corinthians 11, where he said, over the woman is the man. Over the man is Yahweh. So it's an order. So but when you read that Timothy account, you see that I suffer not a woman and you serve authority. A woman don't be in a do things of a man, but she can still do things honor to Yahweh. And can go even further. A woman has a menstrual cycle, and he was called Nida. She's unclean for 5 to 7 days. So she wouldn't be able to go in the temple and conduct no temple officiating business or to help the Levi, you know, the Levites, which was Eli's sons, and Eli being the high priest in Shiloh. So see, with Yahweh, if you keep reading his word, see, you'll see these things where no, a woman is not supposed to be a priest. She's not supposed to, she can't do those things because she's unclean. And you can learn this too. That's where a woman should not be going into the church on Sundays. Well, that's a long day anyway, because Yahweh Sabbath is Saturday, sunset Friday, sunset Saturday. Calm down. Let me get loud for it. A woman not supposed to, if they teach it, you, if they were sent by Yahweh and was taught by Yahweh and abide by his word from Genesis to Revelation, Bereshit to Hazan in Hebrew, you'll see in his writing, a woman is not supposed to come. She's unclean. It's called unclean. But women are going in churches every Sunday. Now, I'm sure all them women not on menopause. You know, menopause is a time when women, you know, don't have a menstrual cycle no more. Or due to some medical reasons, you may not have menopause. Maybe some other issues. But I'm sure all of these women you see every Sunday going out to church, why the pastor not telling them that? Oh, because why? Little my child, that person you were talking to, we're under the covenant by the blood. We're under the New Testament. Yeah, we covered. That was nailed to the cross in Colossians. Let me show you. No. 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 But that's what she did services. She did services in the temple. She was dedicated to Yahweh like that. Now, so, okay, so, all right, brother, you went over that last week. But no, I might didn't break it down like I'm getting ready to do now. Okay, we did that. Don't forget, Judges 11:29, the spirit of Yahweh came over him to say that so we can see these things, foreshadow things that down the future that we can see in the future that we coming now. So now we're going to go to, and don't forget number 30, how vows can be honored and vows not. We're going to go to Leviticus chapter 27. I'm not going to be that long. Let me shut up. It won't be that long. It's going to cut off anyway. Leviticus chapter 27, starting at verse 1, it says, Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, verse 2, speak to the children of Israel, say to them, when a man consecrate a person to Yahweh in a vow according to your valuation. Verse 3, your valuation of a male from 20 years old to 60 years old should be 50 shekels of silver according to the shekels of the sanctuary. Verse 4, this is a verse right here I want to pay attention to. Yahweh showed me. He showed me after the lesson last month. It was cool. Apologize. If she is a female, then your valuation should be 30 shekels. Keep that in mind. Because remember when we just read in, what, Judges chapter, apologize, that's how I like to teach. So I know you keep jumping me around there. But so you can see. Remember Judges chapter 30, chapter 11, verse 36. She said, do what you open your mouth to Yahweh to do. Do accordingly, which proceed out your mouth. Excuse me. That was a vow that her father made. Verse 39. Who did her according to his vow? He had a vow. She was a virgin. So now, see, we go back. So remember I said how how she's talking like that, that can't be a sister that's 4, 5, 6, 7 years old. You understand what I'm saying? Possibility. Because we also know the scriptures say out of the mouth of babes. But we're going to go with, because it emphasized her virginity, Leviticus 27. Where would we find? So we see right here, this young sister, I'm going to put it like this. Oh, yeah, of course a girl 7, 8, 9, 10, a virgin. Well, she should be a virgin. As I said over, times now that we live in, a lot of things have shunned on. People look down. And for you young sisters out here, and you young brother, because I heard a young brother, my neighbor had a cookout on the 4th of July, and I was on the porch. They were young adults and teenagers, and everybody was bragging when they lost their virginity. And one of them did. She did admit that she regrets she gave hers to a certain dude. And he got to one young dude who said something. He looked at him and said, hey, I'm only 16. Yeah, I'm still a virgin. But at least I ain't like whoever they were talking about. He was 26, and that's why he was the subject of the conversation, because he was 26 and still was a virgin. I told him, if you're 36 and you're a virgin, that's a good thing. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Yes, Hollywood made movies the 50-year, I don't know what it was, but it was something, the 40-year or the 50-year-old virgin. They did it to ridicule, make fun of somebody, but it shouldn't be nothing ridicule. That's an honor that you save yourself, young women and young brothers. So don't fall for the thing like, well, it's just for girls, no, it's for you too, young brother. Because you, as we stated, as I stated earlier about Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you have a seed. Whatever come out of you, that's your baby, that's your child. So yes, keep your virginity. That's your private life. So if you don't want to, you may feel some kind of way, you ought to tell them about it. They tell you, say, hey, it's my private life. They go, oh, you must be a virgin. Say, hey. So, but you can tell them, like, yes, I am. What you waiting on? I'm waiting on Yahweh. What? Don't nobody do that. Back in the Bible days. And you look up in the sky like I do. And look down on the ground, look around. So you looking up the sky, the sky's still up there, the trees still down, the grass. And to heaven and earth, it says in Matthew, pass away all my word is true. So we still in Bible time. So verse 3, we see it says, for verse 4, a female, her valuation will be 30 shekels. Verse 5, if a person is from 5 years old to 20 years old, the valuation for a male 20 shekels, and a woman should be 10 shekels. So, like I said, thinking this young sister is past that 5, even though we know 20, you become a woman. You become grown in Yahweh's eyes, because Numbers chapter 1 or 2 or 3 tell you the ages when you become an age, like you become the age of the war, you become the age of doing priestly duties in the sanctuary. And that was another thing Yahweh opened up and shared with me. When you read those things, you can start doing priestly duties at 20. And like I said, with Samuel was a young lad, but as we get the story, he was given at a young age, as he was weaning off his breast, but then he grew up in that house. So I'm sure Eli and them, I knew they was doing some things disapproving under God's eye, but I hope they had a boy doing the duty before he was 20, but, probably 20. And then we know, as in Numbers, if you get 30, you do other, you're allowed to do other duties. So we see right here, you see how it's a shekel valuation. So verse 6, if a person is from 1 month old to 5 years old, then the valuation for a male is 5 shekels of silver. For a female, it's 3. Verse 6, remember verse 6? I think it's in Luke chapter 3 or something or whatever. Remember they went to the temple when they had Yahushua. I think it's Luke chapter 2, hallelujah. Because on the 8th day, you get circumcised, you're a male child. Yeah, you still got to do that. And that's not done away with. He gave it to Abraham back in Genesis, 17, 18. So if the child gets circumcised, a man, if you come into faith after you 8 days old, you don't have to do it, my brother. In the word. Don't let nobody fool you. But Yahshua, his family had to give 5 shekels, if I'm not mistaken, when they went to take him to the temple. Okay. Verse 8 also said, but if he's poor, then your evaluation, then he shall be set before the priest, and the priest shall assign a value to him. Verse 8, very important. And according to his ability to pay. Even though he set out his mouth, remember? Whatever come, what was it, verse 31, 32? Whatever come out of my house, I'm going to get a Yahweh. But remember verse 29, he was inspired by Yahweh. The Holy Spirit took over him to make him say this. But we also know he was a man of a valiant warrior. So I'm sure he had some loot. You follow where I'm coming from? So according to his ability to pay, but the priest's job, he wasn't a priest. The priest's job was to determine that. Even though it said in those days there was no king, but it still was some form of priest. Because why? We hear how they knew of Yahweh, you know, of making a vow. Verse 9 says, if it's an animal which man offered to Yahweh, the man should give such, Yahweh becomes holy. If he should not alter it, right? If it's an unclean animal, you're going down. Verse 12, and the priest should evaluate it, whether it's good or bad. Verse 13, but if he will indeed redeem it, then it shall add a fifth part of it as evaluation. Verse 14, when a man dedicates his house to be holy to Yahweh, then the priest should evaluate it, whether it's good or bad. As the priest evaluates it, it shall stand. So remember he said, what come out of my house, right? So where I'm going at, Yahweh showed me, we're just like, Yahshua came from the kingdom of heaven, out of Yahweh's house, his throne, and came down here. If a man dedicates Yahweh part of a field of a possession, so what I was trying to, and then it says, if you dedicate this from the year Jubilee, according to the valuation it stands. So what I'm getting at with this is that, okay, him not knowing, this is what priests had to come in and know, hear the law from the priest list, Malachi 2, 7. A priest should have been around and said, I understand, you know that. Yes, numbers do say, you say that, but that thing was too mighty for you. And you said, thus say Yahweh said to do that? Not making him go against his vow. It's giving him a chance to maybe see and like, okay. But another thing where we can learn from this, after the 50 years, because Jubilee, she could come back. But you know after 50 years, she can be over the age of, she was 20, she's 70. Even though we know Sarah had a baby at 90. We know Elizabeth had a baby, well over 60. You get where I'm coming from with this. But it's just letting you see Yahweh's mercy. Yahweh's mercy. He's not just stern like a man. Yes, Yahshua said, let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. But Yahweh wanted me to share this and show this with the family so you don't be too hard on yourself on certain things you may say out your mouth, but be mindful. Okay. And what's the other one I wanted to get to? Okay, what's up? 929. All right. Okay. Numbers 15, 3. We can go to number 15:3 real quick. Ms. Arnold, so apologize, Sean. I just want you to find a narrative. Should have cut the narrative. Number 15. Number 15:3 says, and we'll make an offer. No, excuse me. Yeah, verse 1. Yahweh spoke to Moshe, said, speak to the children of Israel and tell them when you have come into the land of your habitation, which I give to you, I will make an offering by far to Yahweh and a burnt offering of sacrifice to accomplish a vow or as a free will offering or in your set feast to make a pleasant aroma to Yahweh and herd of your flock. Then he who offers his offering shall offer to Yahweh a meal offering one tenth. Okay. So what Yahweh's, that's not what he wanted me to say. Yeah. Okay, so now what Yahweh wanted me to, the emphasis out of all that was that, remember when we go back to Judges, Judges chapter 11, where it started, Judges GBS, chapter 11, verse was that 29, where the Spirit of Yah came over him. Verse 30, then Yahweh vowed a vow to Yahweh, right? And then he said, whatsoever come out the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace of Amma. I should be Yah. It should be Yahweh's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. Okay, Tom, right there. A burnt offering. When you hear the term burnt offering, remember, I said, remember that. That burnt offering, a burnt offering is when somebody, their whole body is given. That's what the sacrifice of Yahshua points to. The whole thing is given up. He gave his daughter, not burnt her and killed her, but he gave her to do holy to Yahweh to do temple service. Because why? He couldn't give her, burn her as an offering, if you follow the story. Only a priest of Yahweh, a priest of Yahweh, can do a burnt offering. And any priest of Yahweh, how would you judge them by their fruit? A priest of Yahweh is not going to allow a man or a woman to give their son for a burnt offering where you burn them up on an altar. No, because why? We learn that from the God of Chemosh. Remember? What was that? Saint Judges 11, chapter 11, verse. I forgot what verse, but I remember it was mentioned when he was talking about the land and, like, give you the land. We ain't take the land. They had a God that they would give their children to him, and they would burn their children on the altar. That's a whole burnt offering. But that's what the priest of the, what was the word I would say? Not a believer. What they call him? A Gentile. Or a person of that's not under Yahweh or knowing the will and the ways of Yahweh. See, priests may do that because why? That's not of Yahweh. He wasn't a priest of Yahweh. Because a priest of Yahweh would not allow you to do that because that goes against his laws that he gave in Leviticus, Deuteronomy. What Yahweh offers from a man, what it say in Micah, he wants you to be righteous and just. Like, I really didn't ask for burnt offers because nothing that you can offer can or sacrifice, like we learned with did Genesis 22, where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. Nothing you can, that story comes in this too, as we went over that with the young sister saying, give to Yahweh what you said. Nothing you can offer can replace or out be the ultimate that the offering that Yahweh wanted to give to mankind, his only begotten son, to take away the sins of the world, to show his love. And it was something I posed and looked up in the Hebrew. Okay, hold up real quick. Was it 9:29? Okay, about 10 more minutes. Female 30 shekels, okay. Come on, sis, right now. Man, I don't know if days and weeks could come. I get what you mean. I don't know if I come on, move on the screen. Something about the shekels. I don't want to be distracted. I got the phone, do not disturb. It's still, let me see something on my shekel. What's your mind? Guess that was it. You know what? Let me go with King James. That's this point. That might be another reason why I can't get my one. Come on. What do you keep doing that? Oh, I know what it is. If not, you know what about it? Learned that from Rabbi class last week. It was something he was going to say. He said, oh, well, it'll come out another time. So I learned that from you too, Rabbi. Not well. But hold up, I'm not giving up like that. Because you didn't give up and it came to you. I was supposed to Zechariah chapter 11. It says, verse 12, it said, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for me my price, 30 pieces of silver. This came to my mind because I thought of the 30 shekels. Zechariah 11:12. And Yahweh said unto me, cast it into the potter a goodly price, that I was praised at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of Yahweh. Verse 26, Matthew 26:15, this is one. And he said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And what I'm coming at with that is that, if you remember those accounts, that's when Judas was deceived and he went and betrayed Yahushua, and they offered him 30 pieces of silver. And we know from when we looked at these evaluations that are we saying that in Leviticus 27, how different shekels, temple, the evaluation with temples, you got offered certain amounts versus the male, versus the female. So they offered him 30 pieces. Yeah. To betray the Most High. So we can also see in that how, what do you show me today? Yaphedat could have got his vow that he made evaluated, where his daughter didn't have to go to the temple and do that. But praise be in that, it's good because, one, we know for sure she wasn't killed, she wasn't burnt, because Israel, a priest of Yahweh in Israel, would not condone that. So that's one good factor. And then even in the event if that would have taken place, that which is not, so we're not even going to go that way. But he kept his vows that we can learn, that our yea be yea, nay be yea. And that's a good thing that you have your daughter. You service to the Most High. And they're not saying you have to remain a virgin and you have to don't have any kids to do service for the Most High. I'm not saying that. But that's an honor. Because remember in the book of Revelation, it said those virgins, Yephthah's daughter is in that number. Those virgins that didn't have, never touched man, never had a man. So it's an honor, those things. It was so. On that note, hopefully I cleared up some things that I didn't finish last week. And one more verse, supposed to be my opening verse. Genesis, I know you probably said a nice time to get the opening verse now, so we're going to be the closing verse. Genesis chapter 28. I wrote it on a wrong piece of paper. I apologize, man. Genesis chapter 28, verse 19. And he called, well, starting at verse 18, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon top of it. He called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at first. So Luz means almond tree in Hebrew 38:70. I'm crazy, please. Okay, and authority cutting away, when you look at the ancient Hebrew literature, it breaks it down more. And verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow. That's that pulls in my opening verse, but we're going, this is a good one to end with. Hallelujah. Saying, if God will be with me, kind of echo what Yaphethah said in Judges 11, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give me bread and will give me bread and to eat the raiment and put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall Yahweh be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, will I surely give a tenth unto Yahweh. So we can learn from vows. Yahweh didn't probably remember this of Jacob. Or let's not forget verse 29, Judges 11. Yahweh's spirit came over upon him, and his Yahweh ways are not our way, and Yahweh wanted it to be, he intended it to be that way, so we can see that years down the road, how these things point to his son, Yahushua, and wait, more shadows of things to see. And the significance of us, when we heard Yahushua come when he walked in the flesh, let your yea be yea, and your, I apologize for not giving you that verse. I'm going to give it to you real quick, and then we can close this up. Come on, come on. That's apologize. I should have had that. I was saying that all day was on my mind. Okay, there it is. Verse Matthew 5:37 said, but let your communication be yea, and nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So therefore we keep those things in mind. And Yahweh tells us in James 2, Brother James 5:12, but above all things, brethren, swear not, there you go, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. That's the one I really want. But I'm glad, because I wanted Yahushua saying it also, which we know Yahushua said it through James 2. Hallelujah. And on that note, what time is it? Nah, 44, I apologize. Well, I did start at 7:30, so forgive me. Forgive me, fam. Father, yeah. Thank you for giving me the breath of life and waking me up today once again. Let me see another new moon, Father, yeah. The first day of your fifth month. Father, yeah, we know from your words, I missed that, but I'll put it on the text. With this, the significance of this month, we can learn from this month. All of your months and days, and we can learn from it. But I'll put it on the text tonight. Father Yahweh, continue to open my spiritual and spiritual eyes that I can do your will, Father Yahweh. Not my will, but your will be done. And Father Yahweh, continue to watch over my spiritual leader, Rabbi Yahweh, and his family, and all my Kohen brothers. Continue to open up their spiritual ears and spiritual eyes that they can do your will. Watch over all of our sisters so they can do accordingly. This is the bats of Yahweh, the daughters of Yahweh, tearing down the spirit of Jezebel is hidden under feminism, this feminism during these times. Boy, I'm having a problem with my words tonight. Let the words come out of my mouth and the meditation be holy and acceptable, Father Yah. And forgive me of anything that I did not pray for. Continue to watch over Sister Debbie. Continue to watch over our elders, Zach and Ward, Zach and Gary, blessing them another year, that he can be in the land of living and give his wisdom, share his wisdom. Watch over all of our children and our young adults and our children's children and our family, friends, co-workers, and our communities, that they can come out of the darkness and come into the light. And any listening new audience member in the audience tonight, open up their spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, Father God, and let them see why you led them to Beth Yahweh Blog Talk. Not just to hear Shabbat, but to hear numerous of your teachings through your servants, Brother Yakael, Brother Dayawel, Brother Ahabel, Brother Yariel, Brother Ariel. And yes, we have sisters that was, a sister was on that, Sister Malcolm, many years back, for those sisters in the listening way. Yes. So you led them for a reason. And Father Yah, watch over us. Strengthen all of us, give us, continue to give us your duty and your task And let us be mindful when we make a vow that we be mindful that we honor you, as James tells us. And let us not be ashamed of anything come out of our mouth. May it be blessings. And anything I forgot to pray for, yeah, your Holy Spirit, you said in your word in Romans chapter 8 that all things work for the good of those that love Yah. And Father Yah, that you will pray even when we lose words. Continue to strengthen Sister Marlene family and A-Law, Sister Marlene, who helped our brother, one of our elders, who passed, and she was with him by his dead side. Continue to strengthen her family. And strengthen all of us as best Yahweh, help us spiritually, physically, and financially. Because we live in a world where we have to have things. We're no longer in a barter system. But let a person know that you are their source. Even when resources are closed up, when one well is dry or brook is dry, you can send a person another. You open the way, Father Yah, and let's keep our faith in you. Thank you in the name of your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our soon coming King and Redeemer. Blessed are you, Yahshua, our mighty one, King of the universe. May this month be the end of our travails, a start and beginning for the redemption of our souls. For you have chosen your people, Israel, from all the nations, and you have set forth the decrees of the new moon for us. Blessed are you, Yahshua, who sanctifies Israel, the new moon. Hallelujah. Latova Kodesh family. Hallelujah.
I coo, I re, I sha, Oludumari, Aribi Rabata, Abataribi Tid, Abataribi Taribi Rabata, Oshua,
Egbe, Yahweh, Soke,
Banditi, Opari, Arari, Ari,
Egbe, Yahweh, Soke, Yeah. Egbe Yahweh Soke.
Egbe Yahweh Soke.
Egbe
Yahweh,
Soke,
Soke.